and King Benjamin had been speaking to his people. And King Benjamin again opened his mouth and began to speak unto them, saying, My friends and my brethren, my kindred, and my people, I would again call your attention that you may hear and understand and remember of my words which I shall speak unto you. For behold, if the knowledge of the goodness of God at this time has awakened your sense of your nothingness and your worthlessness and your fallen state, I say unto you, if ye have tasted the knowledge of the goodness of God and his master's power and wisdom and his patience and his long suffering toward the children of men, and also the atonement which has been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come unto him that should put his trust in the Lord and should be diligent in keeping the commandments and continue in faith even unto the end of his life, I mean the life of this mortal body, I say that this is the man who receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world. For all mankind, which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, or who are, or whoever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. Now we can see here that back before the Christ, that these people knew that Christ was going to come and that he was going to be sacrificed and that he would prepare the way that they might have eternal life. Now, if this king spoke to his people, he wanted to impress upon them that they themselves were too important in their in themselves. Even though they were important to God, they couldn't feel too puffed up and lifted up in the pride. That they should feel of themselves a sense of nothingness. And when we consider that even though God considers each one of us very, very important, that we shouldn't be puffed up and be convicted. And that they were made aware that they did have a means of salvation that would last forever. I want to go on down here and read in the 16th and 17th verse. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them and put yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. Now, what we've read here, and especially in this last two verses, if we would study them out, there's a sermon enough right there for the whole week. Repent of your sins and forsake them. That's what the whole thing is. And if you believe these things, to do it. There's a lot of people that believe in the scripture because this Satan believes. He knows what's going to happen. And we know, come across people all the time that they say, well, I know I shouldn't do this, but they do it anyway. And I came across a lot of people that they really don't believe that people should drink, but yet they do. And I know a lot of people that smoke, and they say they shouldn't, but they can't quit. But if they had heard these verses, and if they truly believed them, they would know what the Lord intended for them to do. Some people know that there is a salvation. And this is something that rather frightens me. People that know that there is going to be a salvation and a life hereafter, and yet they're not doing anything about it. They really believe it. Now, you know, it would frighten me if I thought that I was going to die, and I didn't have a chance in the resurrection, wouldn't it? Now, really, to a person that believes in the Lord, dying is one of the guarantees that they will be. They know they're going to have something a lot better hereafter. But if I couldn't believe in hereafter, it really frightened me. And if I did believe in it, it would really frighten me if I wasn't trying to do something about it, that I might partake of it. I want to go over here and begin in the 21st verse. Help the more than the person you do. Humble yourselves, even in the depths of humility. And if you're doing that, you're not being lifted up and tried, are you? Call on the name of the Lord daily, and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of an angel. Now he was referring to the coming of Christ. And standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come. Also, he would be speaking of the resurrection, wouldn't he? And it's just as important that we look with faith toward that as they did to the coming of Christ. And behold, I say unto you, that if you do this, you shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins. Now, if we do all these things, we're going to ask for forgiveness, and we're going to walk uprightly, and we're going to have a continual remission of our sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of him, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And ye will not have a mind to injure one another. Now, a Christian wouldn't have a mind to injure one another, would they? But to live peaceably, and to render to every man according to that which is his duty. Now, I didn't say you're supposed to give somebody a whole lot of things that aren't supposed to have, but what duty are we supposed to give after that? And you will not suffer that your children, and you will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked. Now, we know that a Christian father or mother isn't going to allow this to happen. Now, if they, perchance, come against our circumstances that they can't help it, I don't believe it's going to be held against them. But where it's possible, a Christian parent is going to take care of their children. And now here's another in here that a lot of people should read. Young people and older life. Neither will you suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel one with another. Not a good thing for grown-ups, too. They shouldn't fight and quarrel one with another, and the children shouldn't either. And if they learn not to fight and quarrel one with another when they're young, it's going to have a lot of effect upon their life through the entire span of their life. And it says, but they're not to let them quarrel one with another and serve the devil, who is the master of sin, or who is the evil spirit which hath been spoken of by our fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness. But ye will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. Ye will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. Now this is important, isn't it? Now this is speaking to their children, but I think this is good for every member of the church. Oh, that goes the whole human race. We should all serve one another and help one another. But there's lots of places where this isn't done. I want to go back over here into the first chapter of Mosiah. The 119th verse. And this is a little bit of what King Benjamin had been speaking to his people. For the natural man is an enemy of God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. But if he yields to the enticing of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man, and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ, the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things, things which the Lord did fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. And moreover, I say unto you, that the time shall come when the knowledge of the Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kingdom, tongue, and people. And behold, when that time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except little children, only through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord God in heaven. Now this pretty well tells us what we've got to do, that who might be found blameless. A lot of people would like to say, well, I didn't know about it. And I don't know just who's going to be in that category. I'm sure that if they have turned down a chance to hear the gospel and wouldn't listen to it, I'm sure that they're going to have to answer to that. I want to read a little bit out of Helaman in the third chapter, the 127th verse. Therefore Nephi declare unto them the word of the Lord, saying, except ye repent, thus saith the Lord, ye shall be smitten even unto destruction. And it come to pass that when Nephi had declared unto them the word, behold, they did still harden their hearts, and would not hearken to his word. Therefore they did revile against him, and did seek to lay their hands upon him, that they might cast him into prison. Now this would be a frightful thing, wouldn't it? A man out telling the truth, and trying to convert people, that they tried to throw him into prison. But let's see what happened. But behold, the power of God was with him, and they could not take him nor cast him into prison. For he was taken by the Spirit and conveyed away out of the midst of them. Now this is one thing that can happen. It has happened at different times. That they were, the ministry was literally picked up and taken out of the midst of them. You know, other times that they were thrown into prison and they were persecuted and many things fell upon them. So we're going to go down here to the fourth chapter of Helaman and read a few verses. And it came to pass that in this year Nephi did cry unto the Lord, saying, O Lord, do not suffer that this people should be destroyed by the sword. But, O Lord, rather let there be a famine in the land, to stir them up in repentance. Pardon me. To stir them up in remembrance of the Lord their God, that perhaps they will repent and return unto thee. And so it was done, according to the words of Nephi, and there was a great famine upon the land among all the people. This would be a terrible thing. I still believe that we could hardly imagine what it would be like not to be able to go get some food. There's none of us, I don't believe it. We may have been at times when there wasn't very much heat, but I think that most of us here have been where there was food available. But in a famine, I'm sure that many times if you had all the money in the world, you couldn't buy a thing. And this would be a terrible thing. But this is what came upon these people. And it's because of their wickedness. They didn't need to come upon them. If they would have sought after the Lord, this would never have happened to them. But this same thing could happen again. When we read in the scripture the things that happened thousands of years ago, the reason it's put there for us to read is that we might know what happened then and realize it could also happen to us today. There isn't many really new things that happen. In the scripture we find wars and terrible things happening to people. And if we read our history today, the same thing is happening now. I don't know that the Lord set a famine upon a people because that they were that they didn't believe in him. But I believe that you'll find that most of the famines are, is among people that don't believe. They don't believe in the Lord God. I want to read verse 9 here. And it came to pass that the people saw that they were about to perish by famine, and they began to remember the Lord their God, and they began to remember the word of Levi. Now, it was getting far enough along that they thought they were going to perish. Now, I don't know how long this would take in a country, weeks or months or years, before the people really saw it. But I'm sure that today, if we take them on the shelf, in a few months, there would be a lot of people that would be hungry. Because it just isn't enough stored food around. If we weren't able to replenish our supply of wheat and corn and vegetables, it wouldn't be very long until they'd be hungry. But they begin to see what was happening. And they can remember the words that the prophet had spoken to them. And now here in the 12th verse, in the meantime they had spoken to their chief judges and so on, the leaders. They would ask Nephi to, well, we might read the 10th verse, then give it to them. And the people began to plead with their chief judges and their leaders, that they would say unto them, unto Nephi, behold, we know that thou art a man of God, and therefore cry unto the Lord our God, that he turn away from us this famine, lest all the words which thou hast spoken concerning our destruction be fulfilled. They knew that if the Lord intervened, that they would be destroyed. And it came to pass that when Nephi saw that the people had repented and did humble themselves in sackcloth, he cried again unto the Lord, saying, O Lord, behold, this people repented. Of course, the Lord knew this already. He could see this going on. But Nephi prayed to the Lord and told him this. And they have swept away the band of Gideon from amongst them, insomuch that they have become extinct. And they have concealed their secret plans in the earth. Now, O Lord, behold, now, O Lord, because of this their humility, wilt thou turn away thine anger. And let thine anger be appeased in the destruction of the wicked men whom thou hast already destroyed. O Lord, wilt thou turn away thine anger, yea, thy fierce anger, and cause that this famine may cease in the land. And we're going down here to the 20th verse in this chapter. And it came to pass that in the 70th and 6th year, the Lord did turn away his anger from the people, and caused that the rain fall upon the earth, insomuch that it did bring forth her fruit in the season of fruit. And it came to pass that it did bring forth her grain in the season of grain. And behold, the people did rejoice and glorify God. And the whole face of the land was filled with rejoicing. And they did no more seek to destroy Nephi, but seized him as a great prophet, and a man of God, having great power and authority given unto him from God. Now we can see how people can turn around, and how the Lord will protect them, and guide them, and bless them when they seek after him. Now, if these people hadn't have turned unto the Lord over here in the 9th verse, what do you suppose would have happened? The same thing would have happened to them that happened at the end of the book of Mormon, that they would have been destroyed. But they did. They repented, and they turned to the Lord again, and they were glad. And it seems like that the Lord is pretty forgiving when people seek earnestly after him, and he will bless them. time when he was slow to hear their prayer, and he let them suffer on. And all of this is so needless, because all they've got to do is to continually seek after the ways of the Lord. And it was mentioned over here in Mosiah that they don't have contentions among themselves, and they are humble and meek. And they seek after the Lord daily and ask for forgiveness for their sins. When you're living in that kind of a condition, you're not going to have it. All these other things come upon you, and you're going to be blessed. I want to read a little bit out of James here in the fifth chapter. I'm sure that most everyone has read this probably within the last few months even. I don't know that I've read it in the last few months, but I'm sure I've heard it from the pulpit. And it's a good piece of scripture. I want to in the fifth chapter, beginning with the 17th verse. We know that this is where we're told to call for the elders of the church and so on. But a little further along here, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And I think this is something that we should consider all the time. Some people say, well, we don't seem to have the miracles amongst us that we had a few years ago. But yet each one of us can tell us miracles. But here it tells that Elijah was a man just like we are. When he didn't have food, he was hungry, and when he didn't have water, he was thirsty just like we are. And he was tempted just exactly like we are. When we go about our daily life, Satan tries to tempt us all the time. I think that probably the young are tempted more than the older people. But all of us are tempted. And so was alive, just the same as we are, or he was just like anyone else. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. The same as in the Book of Mormon, isn't it? And it rained not upon the earth for a space of 3 years and 6 months. I don't think that hardly any of us could imagine that. If we took our plain state, the eastern Colorado and Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, where most of our grain is raised, Nebraska, Iowa, and it rained not for a space of 3 years and 6 months, what do you think we'd have there? I don't think we could even imagine. If we had a wind like they had in these years, or like it is in the 30s, it would make that dust bowl look like a picture. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave their rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he can, which converteth a sinner from the error of his way, shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now that's our whole purpose, isn't it? Now a lot of things can come upon us. And we're going to be tempted, and we're going to be, Satan is going to try everything in the world to lead us astray. And probably he's going to use things that we have never done that before. One of the first things I think that Satan does is to try to divide families and homes. Because if we look around, you find homes that have been divided. Not only does it separate a man and a wife, but you find great problems for the children in generations to come. Now this is one of the first things we'll do. We'll find other ways to lead us astray and to cause us to seek after other things. It would have been awful easy for Johnny to get out of the boat in a state that didn't want to, or anybody else that had a boat to go boating. But we knew that we were supposed to be here at church, because this is where each one of us is here is going to be, and we know it's the right thing to do. But as each one of us goes about a daily walk of life, we're invited to do things on Sunday, go other places. And if it takes every minute of our time, then it would make no loss to do it. If we would spend just a few hours a day away from this church, that wouldn't be long for these things that we forget about. If we'd allow that. But we don't do that. We seek to be here because we gain strength from one another, and we can strengthen one another. And it's very important that we do help one another and give comfort in the time of need and oftentimes encouragement and advice. And I want to read this one verse out of 4th Nephi. It's been a few months ago, I think, that Harvey read this to us, and probably within the last year, nearly every one of us has used this verse. And it's in the, of course, there's only one chapter in 4th Nephi, and I'm going to read the verses 17 through 19. And it came to pass that there was no contention in the land because of the love of God was dwelt in the hearts of the people. Now this would be enough for us right here. And it's a wonderful time. And there were no envy, nor strife, nor tumult, nor whoredom, nor lying, nor murder, nor any manner of lasciviousness. That's just any of this experience. And what did Benjamin tell them over here that they could do? They could speak. But there were no contentions amongst them, that there even the children could not be tied amongst themselves. Here, there wasn't any of this. Can you imagine that where there would be none of this, no need for a police officer? It's almost unknown for this. There would be the average person, but we know that this can happen, and it will happen someday. And surely, there could not be a happier people among all the people that have been created by the hand of God. Now, this is what those people have. And that's what can be at any place in the world. Now, for we are amongst the people of the world, and we see the sorrow and the corruption, it's going to upset us. And probably, as long as any of us live, this is going to be around about us. Unless there is a time that we live, or that we live long enough to see the fulfillment of the scriptures. But for the people around us to be converted to where there is no sin, we can't see it. This is done, all right. But if we could just even have a group of people that are this way, and if we could work with people and associate with people in our daily lives that really believe in the Lord, any meeting that we have to go to, any public meeting, or any social gathering, unless it's of our church, I believe we're rubbing noses and elbows with people that is just so far from what we actually believe, it almost hurts. And I'm sure each one of you has heard the language of these people, and most of them have no belief whatsoever. But it would be wonderful if they would, could read that chapter in Mosiah, what they should do, and if they could then read what does happen over here like it is in the 4th Nephi, how happy they could be. There wouldn't be any broken homes. There wouldn't be any of those great sorrows that we so frequently experience. There would be no need for reformatories or prisons. And those are hard places. They're bound to be. But if those people had kept the commandments of this gospel, they wouldn't be there. But we've seen people from the beginning of time, when the hand of the Lord is with us, that has led us astray and saved us astray, and we can only think of that coming out of Egypt, which is the most fantastic time in the world to me. 40 years they wandered. They had the hand of the Lord with them so much of the time, and yet they couldn't follow the way that they should go. So we can see the disconnection of the people, and we can see it around about us today. If the people would even have the slightest interest in the scriptures, the churches in this country suddenly began to overseas. It couldn't be interesting. We take our community here, just a few of us, we could have this church overflowing, we wouldn't have but a small percentage of the people. And if you fill every church in Grand Junction, there would be a lot of people left on the outside. And when you walk by that village, you can't believe that they could ever be filled. But no, the whole church is like 400-500 people. I think the Methodist minister told me that they had around 500 that attended down there, and maybe another 500 that tends down there. That's 1,000 people. Their church will hardly handle it. And that's only probably a small percentage of the actual number of people that are in this country. But if people would seek after the ways of the Lord and seek His direction, the happiness that they would have would so far outweigh the unhappiness that people indulge themselves in today, people can even imagine. And my prayer is that we might be able to reach some of these people and cause them to see that there is something greater than the life of the world.
Thank you.